From Swimming to Antarctica by Lynn Cox. In 2002, long-distance swimmer Lynn Cox attempted the most ambitious feat of her career, swimming a mile in the frigid waters of Antarctica. Before setting out on her final swim, she tested her reactions by swimming in Antarctic water for over 22 minutes, closely monitored by her crew and doctors. When I returned to my cabin, I thought for a long time about what I was about to attempt. I had mixed feelings about the test swim. In some ways, it had given me confidence. I now knew that I could swim for 22 minutes in 33-degree water. But it had also made me feel uncertain. It had been the most difficult and probably the most dangerous swim I had ever done. Part of me wanted to be satisfied with it. Part of me didn't want to attempt the mile. I was afraid. The water temperature on the big swim would be a degree colder. 32 degrees. That was a magic number, the temperature at which fresh water froze. I wondered if in 32-degree water the water in my cells would freeze, if my body's tissues would become permanently damaged. I wondered if my mind would function better this time, if I would be able to be more aware of what was happening, or if it would be further dulled by the cold. Would my core temperature drop faster, more quickly than I could recognize? Would I be able to tell if I needed to get out? Did I really want to risk my life for this, or did I want to risk failure? The other part of me wanted to try, wanted to do what I had trained for, wanted to explore and reach beyond what I had done. That part of me was excited about venturing into the unknown. That part of me knew I would have felt a tremendous letdown if I didn't get a chance to try. I wanted to do it now. The next morning, on December 15, 2002, Susan called me up to the bridge. She pointed out Waterboat Point. The tiny gray beach between steep glaciers was completely blocked by icebergs and brash ice. There was no place to land. We continued sailing south, through the Gerlache Strait, past mountain-high glaciers and by ship-sized icebergs ranging in shades of blue from juniper berry to robin's egg to light powder blue. In the protection of the Antarctic Peninsula, the wind dropped off and the sea grew calmer. When we reached Naco Harbor about an hour later, Susan called me up to the bridge. She was excited. The beach was free of icebergs and brash ice. A landing was possible. Now I would have a chance to swim the first Antarctic mile. I was thrilled and scared, but I tried to remain calm. I knew that the weather could suddenly change and the swim would be off. I met with Barry Binder, who said, "I'll get the crew into the Zodiacs and come and get you when everything's set." I walked to the ship's library, drank 4 8-ounce cups of hot water, and ate 2 small croissants for breakfast. They were high in fat and carbohydrates, 2 sources of energy I would need for the swim. Then I started through the hallway to my cabin, where many of the Orlova's passengers were waiting, eager to find out if I was going to swim. They wished me luck and said they would wait for me at the finish. I stopped by Dan's cabin to ask him if he would jump into the water with me at the end of the swim. He was already in his dry suit, prepared to go. Everyone was doing what we had practiced. All I could do was go back to my room and wait. Gabriella came in to take a core temperature. It was up to 100.4 degrees. Knowing I was venturing into unknown waters, I must have psyched myself up so much that I increased my body temperature. Gabriella left me alone while I put on my swimsuit and sweats. I rubbed sunscreen on my face, but not on my arms or legs. It could make my skin slippery, and if my crew needed me to get out of the water quickly, that would create a problem. The night before, 3 of the crew had spotted a pod of 8 killer whales swimming into the Gerlache Strait. They hadn't been moving fast. I hoped they were still north of us. I stared out the window at the brown, crescent-shaped beach. There were snow-covered hills directly above the beach and massive glaciers on either side. I picked out landmarks, places I could aim for so I'd know if I was on or off course. Dr. Block caught me at the top of the stairs, just before we stepped out the door and onto the ramp. and asked if I would sit down on a step so he could trace two veins on my hands with a blue magic marker. It was just a precaution, he said, in case I needed emergency assistance. This way he would easily be able to find a vein to start an IV. I gave him my right hand and watched him draw the blue lines for the television camera. It gave me the creeps. Why did he have to do this now, right before I swam? Didn't he realize this kind of stuff psychs people out? I know the swim is dangerous, but he could have done this hours ago, not just before I swam. Get over it, I told myself. Shake it off. Take a deep breath. Refocus. Take another breath. Good. Now think about the swim. I smiled. I'm so ready for this.